Genesis chapter 37 will be in verses 1 through 11. Hear now from God's word. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. They said to him, he said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to this text this evening, would you give us ears to hear your word, that we would see what you would have us see in your scriptures? Would you speak to us this evening? Would you lay your word upon us now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "He came to his own, and his people did not receive him." Jesus was rejected by not strangers, not enemies, but he was rejected by his own. The people who had been praying for him, the people who had been reading about him, the people who had been longing for him. And when he finally arrives, he is not received by his own people. And this is the pattern we see in Genesis 37. These are the generations of Jacob coming right after. If we were reading through Genesis, this would have come right after the generations of Esau. So now we're looking at the generations of Israel. And we see Joseph in the text, and he's not received by his own. He is not received by his brother. But we see jealousy against the brother. So again, 36, you trace the lineage of Esau, and you see all of these heads of tribes and the leadership and the structure, what seems to be a structured society. And then when you look at the generations of Israel in the passage we just read, we see not the wholesome covenant family sitting around the table doing a devotional together, but we see a very dysfunctional family. So there's a contrast there, and I think that contrast is very intentional. We go from seeing how Esau seems to be prospering, yet we see this covenant household, and it doesn't seem to be the case there. Of course, we know the Lord is faithful to his promises. We know how the story ends. We know the fulfillment in Christ. But even up until Christ, there is dysfunction in the covenant household. So keep that in mind as we discuss this text this evening. As Joseph's brothers reject him, Christ was also rejected by his brothers. And Christ's followers will be rejected. We see this pattern. We see this jealousy. But we also see ourselves in Joseph's brothers, don't we? We see our own sin festering. I had a conversation with someone this morning after the service, and we spoke just for a moment about how we see that own battle with our own flesh every week. We see our own tendencies towards hostility towards people. And so we can relate to everybody in the passage in some form or fashion this evening. We relate to Joseph through Christ, and we relate to the brothers through our own flesh. And so the backdrop, just to remind you, these brothers, their parents came from very messy situations. You had Jacob and Esau. Jacob has cheated his brother. He's had to run for his life from his brother. You've had Leah and Rachel, who we read about last month, and their rivalry, which led to the tribes of Israel being born. So both parents had issues with their siblings. And now we see these brothers and the jealousy they have towards Joseph in the text this evening. So that gives us a little bit of the tone and the feel of God's people here. It's not a wholesome covenant family, but instead, it's a bit messy. It's more than messy. Messy is a very weak word. It's a bit sinful. And our sinful hearts will resist what God is doing. But our God is faithful. And the common thread throughout the entire Joseph narrative is that God meant it for good. But Joseph's calling will be costly. In the text this evening, we don't get to the cost exactly. We get to the jealousy of the brothers. We see that jealousy a little bit later in the chapter. That's another sermon. But the calling will be costly for Joseph. And we see that Joseph is set apart by his father. And we see that that cost will be hatred from his own house. And then finally, we'll see that we are a bit of both in the text this evening. But first, let's look at how Joseph is set apart by his father and by the Heavenly Father in the text. First, we see that he is set apart by his own father, his earthly father. We see that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other brothers. That seems to be at the heart of the issue, the heart of the friction that he has with his brothers. We see that famously in the robe that he is given. Maybe you've seen Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's actually where I learned the story of Joseph, but I promise I have read the scriptures since then, so I have a better, a little bit clearer picture than I had when I was in high school. But Joseph receives this coat from his father, and that this is emblematic of him being the favorite son. Remember how the text starts when Joseph is introduced here. He's 17 years old, and he's pasturing the flock with his brothers, we're told. And we see the robe and the report on his brothers. And now he receives this robe, and this is not typical clothing for someone out tending the flock, out in the mud with the animals. But this is an ornate robe. This is probably a longer robe than you would be wearing if you were in the fields working with animals. So this is probably also indicative that Joseph didn't work the same job as his brothers either. And we see this because he gives a report on his brothers. He gives a bad report, it says in the text, a report that his brothers did not want him to give. It was not favorable for them. So this is going to be a friction point with the brothers. And if you look further than we read, we see that this is apparently something he does regularly. In verse 14, Jacob tells him, "Go now and see if it is well with your brothers." And so we see that he is giving reports on his brothers. That seems to be his role. He probably has not worked as hard as his brothers. And so you see, they have these reasons for envying him. He's given a bad report on them. It's made them angry. They see that he is the favorite. And surely they see this disparity between how they are treated and how Joseph is treated. And the robe and the report, they point to the same reality, that Joseph occupies a different position in the house as them. And he's one of the youngest of the family. Benjamin's younger than him, but he's basically treated like both the youngest in the family and gets that sort of favoritism, but also treated with the honor that you might treat the oldest son with. So he's just getting everything in the eyes of the brothers. He's just receiving everything, and it's unwarranted, unmerited. We have a word for that in the Christian faith. It's called grace. We receive unmerited favor all the time. It's called grace. and we struggle with grace. If you speak to an unbeliever about grace, it's a hard concept for them. They can't get it through their heads. And even as believers, we struggle with grace. The brother's jealousy was really a struggle with grace here. Grace, the robe was not earned. The position that Joseph had was not merited. These were all given to him by his father. This is grace, and it offends our human sense of fairness. We don't see the equity there, but it's grace. We don't want equity, do we? When it comes down to it, if you were sharing the gospel with somebody and they were struggling with grace, you would tell them, you don't want what you deserve. You need grace. You need the grace of God. But somehow, grace is something that offends us. And his brothers did not hate Joseph because Joseph was a bad guy. They hated him because he was favored. The brothers saw partiality. They could not see the Lord's purposes here. They couldn't see how the Lord was going to work through Joseph. And as he shares the dreams with them, they don't see how the Lord is at work. So don't be surprised when the world despises God's chosen people. Don't be surprised when the world despises you sharing the gospel or giving testimony of how the Lord has worked in your life. You may share something like that thinking it would be an encouragement. But jealousy and strife is in people's hearts. They don't necessarily receive it that way. They don't see grace the way they should. But instead, it might spark jealousy like it did with Joseph's brothers. Hard hearts have a hard time with the gospel. And we see Joseph's dreams in verses 5 through 9. These dreams are God's revelation. If you're reading through the text, you might not have seen mention of the Lord really in this text. You might read through this and you think the characters are Joseph, the characters are his brothers, the characters are his father. But where's the Lord in the text? The Lord's in the dreams. The Lord gives him the dreams. They are God's revelation. The first dream is just the sheaves bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. And then the second dream, we have the father and the mother bowing down to Joseph as well. Even that provokes the situation even further. And now Jacob's starting to say, wait a minute, son. Are you saying mom and me are going to bow? It was okay if it's your brothers. But now you're saying your mom and me. But with Jacob versus the brothers, you see that Jacob is somewhat offended, but at the same time, he takes it to heart and he ponders, what does this mean? The brothers don't ponder what it means. They are just driven by their hatred. Our sin can blind us to God's word. God is speaking through the dreams, but the brothers don't hear it. Instead, they are provoked by God's word. Are you ever provoked by God's word? Does your sin ever cause you to be provoked by God's word instead of being receptive to God's word, instead of being eager to hear? But obviously, they're not going to know what this means, but they don't even have a heart to want to know what this means. They're jealous. They are provoked with their hatred. So what are the brothers really resisting? Are they resisting Joseph? The brothers seem to be provoked by the favoritism of Joseph. So they're reacting to Joseph, but they're also reacting to their father. They're reacting to the father who has set Joseph apart. Jesus said, whoever hates me hates my father also. When we reject Christ, we are rejecting the father. And so as Joseph is a type of Christ here, he is rejected, and there's this rejection of what their father has chosen to do, what their father is doing in the family, and ultimately what God will do through Joseph as well. When we resist God's purpose, his servants, his word, we are resisting him. We are just anything of God that we resist is resisting God. So when we resist his word, we resist him. When we resist the work the Lord is doing, we are resisting our God. And so you see that in the brothers, but we see that in our own hearts. We see that in the same sin that's alive in them is alive in us. Now, we have the Holy Spirit at work in the believer. We're a bit more restrained. I bet your family's probably a bit more wholesome than Israel's family. I would imagine that's true. That's the grace of God. The grace of God has given you, hopefully, a better home than what we see here. But that same sin is still there. And so we see the cost of being called. So Joseph is called. He is set apart. He is the favored son. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more. And what did they do? They hated him, and they could not speak peacefully to him. He was hated by the very brothers who will later become the tribes of Israel. And Jesus and his disciples will be hated and rejected by the covenant people. We see the same patterns in the New Testament as we see with Joseph here. Jesus and his disciples rejected by the covenant people. The very people that should love them, the very people that should receive the word, are provoked by it. We see it throughout the book of Acts. Everyone that preaches in the book of Acts is saying, you've rejected God, you've rejected his covenant. Which prophet did you not reject? Constantly we see the tribes of Israel rejecting the work of God, being enraged by the work of God. And we see it here in the narrative we've read this evening. His brothers are blinded by their covetousness. And that covetousness in our own lives, we know that. It turns us inward, it makes us inward focused, and it blinds us to what God may be doing around us. And that's what's happening here in the family. This is a failure of two great commandments simultaneously. They don't love the Lord their God, and they don't love their neighbor as themselves because of the covetousness that takes hold and blinds us to the things of God. So we see sinfulness in the covenant people here, and they are rejecting what the Lord is doing, and they have an indignant rage against it. The dreams, in verse 8, it tells us that the dreams provoke the response, are you really going to reign over us? And their hatred grows. It starts off telling us that Joseph is the favorite son in verse 3. And he had reported on them in verse 2. And he's the first son of the beloved wife. If you'll remember the narrative of Rachel and Leah, well, he's the first son of the wife that Israel favored. And so you can kind of see why he's the favorite. He's sort of born into a situation where he's going to be the favorite. And so this is just growing and growing and growing. And finally, it hits a climax now in the dreams. In the dreams is where it's just too much for the brothers. And so when he tells them that they're going to bow down to him, this has really escalated that indignation now. And they weren't just angry. They were blinded by their jealousy. And as we continue on in Genesis later, we see how that comes out. It's a murderous rage against him. And Jesus experiences the exact same thing. In Mark 15, we're told that Pilate perceived that it was out of envy that the chief had delivered him up, that the chief of the priests are delivering him out of envy. Even Pilate sees it, that it's envy driving this. And so their jealousy causes them to do to Jesus as Joseph's brothers will do to him. And they dismiss Joseph with contempt. They dismiss him with contempt. Later on in the chapter, they'll refer to him as sarcastically as that dreamer, that dreamer. They don't believe his dreams. They are indignant about his dreams. They are enraged about his dreams. And that is the way that the world received Christ. That is the way Christ was received when he was in his earthly ministry, preaching the gospel to people. They dismissed it with contempt, and they were enraged by it, even to the point of crucifying him on a cross. So the brothers' hearts are hardened by their jealousy, and they are in no position to receive the word of the Lord. They don't ask why. Instead, they mock the word of the Lord, that dreamer, Christ on the cross. He saved others. Can he save himself? Mocked on the cross. Just jealousy and contempt for the Savior of the world. Now, Joseph will be the Savior of his brothers. But at this point, they are blinded by their sin, and they only mock him. They are jealous of him. They hate him. Sin makes us deaf to God's word. So what question does that put on us? So if you've accepted Christ, you believe Christ, yet does sin still make you deaf to God's word? When sin is festering in your heart, does it close you off to God's word? Are you cold to God's word? Are you offended by God's word at times? The sin in our hearts will do that to us. And that's why we must deal with sin when it is festering in our lives, because unaddressed sin will impact our receptivity to how God is working. Which this brings us to our last point this evening. We are both in the text. Maybe you read this text and you read the narrative. It's hard to not read a narrative like this and relate to one party or the other. The brother's contempt hardens them. And we know what it feels like to be out in the field watching somebody else wear the robe. We can put ourselves in the brother's shoes very easily. There's been times where we have the same sort of sin in our hearts. And when we read this text, do we see ourselves in Joseph? Do we see ourselves in the brothers? Do we see Christ in Joseph? In Acts chapter 5, the high priest rose up and all who were with him, filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in prison. So if we were relating with Joseph, you're not wrong to feel that. The world hates God's people. The world is jealous of God's people. They might not categorize it as that. They might not know what it is. But it's nothing new for the world to rise up with jealousy against God's chosen people. Even that language, chosen people, that's an offensive concept in the world. And we are called out with Christ. So just as Christ was hated, Christ promised this to us. He says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Constantly, we see that the religious elite were jealous of Jesus because he preached truth. They wanted to preach truth, but they were blind to the truth. Jesus actually preached the truth. He was the truth. And instead of worshiping him and embracing him, recognizing that this is their savior, they were jealous of him. If Joseph's brothers had known what the dream meant, they would have loved him. But they were driven to hatred and jealousy. They were blinded by their sin. And that is the world that we live in, filled with jealousy, hatred, and animosity to the truth. The truth that will set you free, the truth that you desperately need. Yet it's the truth that we resist, the truth that we cannot speak kindly of. The call to follow the Lord of truth is costly. It's a lonely place to be hated by your own. Joseph's brothers hated him for his calling. That's a lonely place to be. Often the believer is called out of a family of unbelievers, and it puts them in the same place where they can't speak a kind word to them, just as Joseph could not be spoken to by his brothers kindly. There's no civility anymore in the family towards him because he's favored. If God has called you, you're favored. That's not a popular concept in the world. We don't play favorites, but the Lord does. He calls a people his own. He has shown favor. He has shown grace. This is a kindness. Even when it doesn't look like it, God's hand is on his people. In Stephen's sermon on the Old Testament, if you don't know your Old Testament history, just read the book of Acts. Stephen's sermon in the book of Acts will walk you through redemptive history so well. He will pick up this story. And in Stephen's sermon in Acts, he refers to Joseph. And when he talks about Joseph, he says that the Lord was with him. Joseph probably felt very alone when his brothers would not talk to him, when they could not treat him kindly anymore. But the Lord was with him. Stephen tells us the Lord was with him. And as you go through the narrative in Genesis, you see how the Lord is with Joseph, even when he's in prison, even throughout the entire narrative. The Lord is with Joseph now as he is being isolated in his family, as he's being hated by his brothers. The Lord is setting him apart, giving him dreams, ordering his steps. Even when it doesn't look like it, the Lord's hand is upon Joseph. And the same is true for you. If you are in the Lord, you are not alone. If you are resonating with Joseph in the passage this evening, you are not alone. The Lord is with you, just as the Lord is with Joseph. Before we get in our ivory towers and point our fingers at the brothers, though, we must remember we have that sin indwelling in us, that sin festering in us, the hatred that the brothers have, the jealousy that the brothers have. We are not above that. We are prone to be the brothers as well, resisting God himself, resisting God's plans, resisting God's servants, resisting his word when it's preached, dismissing with contempt God's word. This is something that happens as we slowly harden our hearts. Not something that happens overnight, but it's something that can easily happen slowly over time. It's easy for us, for example, to weep with those who weep. You don't have a lot of jealousy there. Your covetous heart doesn't really get in the way of weeping with those who weep. But can you rejoice with those who rejoice? When someone is blessed beyond all measure, can you rejoice with that person? Or does your heart say, I wish I had what they had? I think we can relate to the brothers. I think we're prone to be covetous. That's at the heart of so much of the sin that we struggle with, is our discontentment and our lack of ability to rejoice with those who rejoice. The brothers didn't rejoice with Joseph when he received his coat, but instead it was a sore spot for them. It was sin festering in them. It was hardened hearts growing deeper and deeper in their hatred and their jealousy. Can you rejoice with those who rejoice? And can we remember that God has appointed members in his church? Each one of them in the body, he has put them as he desires to put them. The church is made of many members, we're told, with many gifts, many callings. We're not all made the same. We're not all gifted the same by the Lord. But we're told that we are united by one spirit. You don't see that in the text this evening. You don't see that heart. They don't look like a body made of many members, rejoicing with Joseph for the things going on in his life, rejoicing for how the Father has gifted him this way. But instead, you see jealousy and covetousness. May it not be so in the church. May it not be so in the family of God. Resisting someone's calling is resisting the God who gave the calling. Just as the brothers are rejecting their father when the father shows favor to Joseph, their jealousy is not just a problem with Joseph. It's a problem with their father. And so the same can be true in the church. If we are jealous of others in the church, how the Lord's using someone, man, I wish I had a testimony like such and such. Rejoice with those who rejoice. The brothers could not see how the Lord would use Joseph's gifts and his calling for their good. Just as Israel struggled to see how the Lord would use Christ and how the Lord was blessing the church, Paul, in the book of Acts, gives testimony. I was once opposing the way. I was once opposing these Nazarenes, all the different terminology in the book of Acts for the Christian church, which seemed like a foreign thing to Paul at the time. But then he becomes a believer. He goes from those who were jealous and had hatred of what the Lord was doing, those who were jealous and had hatred of Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, who said, your sins are forgiven. Things that seemed unthinkable to the religious of the time. Paul was one of them, but his heart was changed by the Lord, and he was moved from that, and he went from jealousy to embracing God's church, loving God's church, seeing God's called ones as God's called ones and loving that, nurturing the church instead of persecuting the church. God meant it for good. Joseph and Christ, both of them, they're called to a costly calling. Obviously, Christ's calling is about the most costly calling you can see. He's the ultimate fulfillment. But both men are set apart by their father's love. Both men are rejected by their own. Both men will pay heavy costs to fulfill their calling. Both men were set apart for the purpose of salvation for God's people. But where Joseph is a sinner saved by grace, Christ is the sinless one who saves us. So Joseph points us to Christ. He cannot be the Christ. And so what do we have here is a call to worship Christ. Christ, who knew he would be betrayed. Joseph didn't know how all this was going to unfold. At this point in time, yes, Joseph can interpret dreams later. Right now, he doesn't know what's going to happen, okay? Jesus walks into his calling knowing what's going to happen the whole time. He was not surprised by the cross, yet he prays, "Not my will, but your will be done." God meant it for good. Christ knew God meant it for good. Christ was God, so he knew God meant it for good. The covenant Lord is still at work among his people, despite our dysfunction, despite our sin, the sin that's in our hearts. The same God that was working then still works among his people, saving sinners, transforming those who are hostile. The brothers will not always be hostile towards Joseph. Just wait, you'll see. They're not always hostile towards Joseph. And the Lord is transforming us as those who would be turned towards his word, softened to his word, softened to his grace, to understand the goodness of his grace, causing our jealous hearts to love our neighbors as ourselves. This evening, as we meditate upon this text, let us rest in the Lord's purposes. Let us rest in the Lord's promises that though the things that we see may seem evil to us, though we may have a hard time understanding how the Lord's at work in things, how things may not sit right with us all the time, the Lord meant it for good. Lord, you are good. You are so much better than us. Your ways are so much higher than our own. Your intentions reach so much further than we expect. And your grace is something we desperately need and a concept that is so foreign to a sinful heart. Lord, would you transform us into the image of Christ that we would not only love your grace, but be an extension of your grace to the world around us? Would we be so bold as to proclaim your gospel knowing that it will cause strife, but also knowing that your gospel is meant for good? Lord, would we see your intentions and would we chase after your purposes for us? In Christ we pray. Amen.